that which no eyes will ever see again. Such was Charn, that great city, the city of the King of Kings, the wonder of the world, perhaps of all worlds. Does your uncle rule any city as great as this, boy?
No.
Then behold! See the temples, towers, palaces, pyramids, and bridges. See where our great river once flowed and is now turned to a ditch of grey dust. It is silent now, but I have stood here when the whole air was full of the noises of Charn. The trampling of feet, the creaking of wheels, the cracking of the whips, and the groaning of slaves. The thunder of chariots and the sacrificial drums beating in the temples. I have stood here when the roar of battle went up from every street and the river of Charn ran red. All in one moment, one woman blotted it out forever.
Who?
I, Jardis, the last queen, but the queen of the world. It is my sister's fault. She drove me to it. At any moment I was ready to make peace, yes, and to spare her life too if she would only yield me the throne, but she would not. Her pride destroyed the whole world. Even after the war had begun, there was a solemn promise that neither side would use magic. But when she broke her promise, what could I do? Fool. She even knew that I had the secret of the deplorable word. Did she think, she was always a weakling, that I would not use it?
What was it?
That was the secret of secrets. It had long been known to the great kings of our race that there was a word which, if spoken with the proper ceremonies, would destroy all living things except the one who spoke it. I paid a terrible price to learn that word. But I did not use it until she forced me to it. Even as the blood of my armies poured out like water in the last great battle, I did not use my power. When she came, leading her rebels up the great stairs of my palace, I waited until we were so close that we could see one another's faces. Victory, she said. Yes, I replied, but not yours. Then did I speak the deplorable word. A moment later, I was the only living thing beneath the sun.
But what about the people?
What people, boy?
All the ordinary people who'd never done you any harm.
Don't you understand? I was the queen. They belonged to me. What else were they there for but to do my will?
It was rather hard luck on them all the same.
I'd forgotten that you were only a common boy. How should you understand the reasons of state? You must learn, child, that what would be wrong for you or for any of the common people is not wrong in a great queen such as I. The weight of the world is on our shoulders. We must be freed from all rules.
My uncle said as much. So, what did you do then?
I had already cast strong spells on the hall where the images of my ancestors sit. And the force of those spells was that I should sleep among them, like an image myself, and need neither food nor fire, though it were 1,000 years, till one came and struck the bell and awoke me.
Was it the deplorable word that made your son like that?
Like what?
So big, so red, and so cold.
It has always been so, at least for hundreds and thousands of years. Have you a different sort of sun in your world?
Yes. It's smaller and yellower. And it gives a good deal more heat.
Ah! Yours is a younger world. Excellent. Let us be going. It is cold here at the end of all ages.
Going? Going where?
Where? To your world, of course. What else were you sent here for, if not to fetch me?
I'm sure you wouldn't like our world at all. It's not your sort of place, is it, Polly?
It's very dull, not worth seeing.
It will soon be worth seeing when I rule it.
Oh, but you can't. It's not like that. They wouldn't let you, you know.
Many great kings thought they could stand against the House of Charn, but they all fell. people and their very names forgotten. Foolish boy. Do you think that I, with my beauty and magic, will not have your whole world at my feet before a year has passed? Prepare your incantations and take me there at once.
Polly,
this is perfectly frightful.
Perhaps you fear for this uncle of yours. But if he honours me duly, he shall keep his life and his throne. I'm not coming to fight against him. He must be a very great magician if he has found how to send you here. Is he king of your whole world or only of part?
He isn't king of anywhere.
You are lying! Does not magic always go with the royal blood? Who ever heard of common people being magicians? I can see the truth whether you speak it or not. Your uncle is the great king and the great enchanter of your world. And by his art, he has seen my face, and for the love of my beauty, he sent you to me to bring me to him. Answer me, is that not how it was?
Well, not exactly.
Not exactly? Why, it's absolute rubbish from beginning to end.
Minions! I'll have the truth out of you!
Oh, that's it, Polly.
Right, the rings. Now!
They plunged their hands into their pockets. They didn't even need to put the rings on. The moment they touched them, the whole of that dreary world vanished from their eyes. They were rushing upward, and a warm, green light was growing nearer overhead. But there was something that Uncle Andrew or Polly or Diggory didn't know about the rings. In order to jump from world to world, you don't need to be wearing or touching it by yourself. It's enough if you're touching someone who is touching it. So it was that when Diggory and Polly came out of the pool into the quietness of the wood between the worlds, things were not so quiet. Polly was crying out in distress because the Queen was holding on to her hair. Seeing the Queen now in the wood, she was much paler and weaker than she had been. She was stooped and seemed to be finding it hard to breathe. For that reason, the children were able to free themselves from her. She reeled back, panting, and there was a look of terror in her eyes.
Quick! Diggory! Change rings! And into the home pool!
Right!
Lucy! Take me with you!
Faster, Polly! She's gaining on us!
Please!
Put on the green rings! Hurry! Where's the pool? Where is it? There! Do you see my mark?
You cannot leave me!
She's here! Jump, Polly!